Hey everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Following Para Lumen, quote unquote, not your ordinary podcast, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Dehuko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get the show on the road. Hey everyone, it's Danny. First of all, I'd like to apologize about this cracking sound. That's actually my dining room table chair, and you'll probably be hearing that all throughout this podcast episode because I'm going to be moving a lot. And I know I haven't been active lately. It's because every time I would record a podcast, I would think, oh, maybe it's not going to be good enough because it's just going to be me and there's not going to be any guest on my show this week because, as you all know, I'm traveling and the only way for me to be able to interview guests for each episode is through having a really good internet connection. But as we all know, I don't usually go to rich cities or rich countries all the time, so internet is not really the priority. Like, you'll probably see me in a ragged African desert or a little jungle town in South America, which is the type of traveling that I do. And so I thought, okay, so this is not gonna work out. I'm just gonna try again next week. And then I always say that each and every week, and then I just eventually lost interest and stopped. And in the process, I forgot that, hey, I actually do have a voice. I actually do have a lot to say, which is kind of a very Gemini trait for me. And I mean, obviously I'm a Christian, but sometimes horoscope actually hits the spot. So anyway, hey, I'm back and it's going to be an amazing season. And I know that this season is going to be great because most episodes will be just me talking about topics that interests me or topics that appeal to my consciousness. So it's going to be amazing. Anyway, so for the first episode for this season, we're going to be talking about traveling in the times of Corona. I know, 2020 has been kind of annoying in a way, but it's also kind of sad because a lot of people have died, a lot of people are sick, a lot of people are battling this coronavirus, and for travelers, it's mostly annoying because we've been forced to return back to all of our home countries, and we're stuck at home, not knowing when the next flight is going to be available. And I know it sounds very spoiled, but I just want to get out there. But yeah, so let's dive in, I guess. It's so weird not having anybody to ask a question to, but it's fun. It's going to be fine. So yeah. So I was actually in Mexico when the news of coronavirus hit me in particularly. So okay, this episode is just going to be a little storytelling time, so another crackle of my chair. Sorry. Okay, so this is going to be a little storytelling time, so don't be kind of weirded out about it, I guess. This is going to be me talking, moving a lot in my chair and drinking tea. So one sip and then story time. Lemon tea with honey. And green tea, my favorite. Okay, anyway, back to the story. I was actually in Mexico when the news of coronavirus hit me in particular. Mexico City, to be precise. And it was early or mid-January, and me and my friends have been volunteering at this hostel in Colonia Condesa in Mexico City, And we were like seeing articles about this new virus that had started in Wuhan, China, that's spreading all around the world. And we had this other co-volunteer who was Italian, and she was like, "Oh yeah, actually in Italy it's becoming pretty bad." And so we were like, "What is the coronavirus? We don't really know what it is. It's not really been a topic of any of our discussions lately, and we just didn't know what it was. We didn't know what to expect, and so we just like shrugged it off." I mean, if you really don't know anything about something, you tend not to think about it, I guess. And so that's what we did. Our initial response was, coronavirus. Cool. Cool. And so we just like put it aside, really. And one night, actually, me and my friend Shauna, who was my roommate, we were eating at this local street food place that we really loved. We call her the OXXO lady. It's by OXXO. So if you don't know OXXO, it's kind of like a 7-Eleven in Mexico. It's very popular. Anyway, so we were eating at this local street food. She sells like tacos, quesadillas, and all that shebang. And so she asked me if I was sick, if my family was okay back in Asia. And I was like, what? I was like, what just happened? And I think that was the very first time that I've been asked if I had the virus, just because I was Asian. I actually didn't think of it as like a racist encounter because I just thought it was like really funny and kind of inappropriate in a way, but I didn't really think much of it. And then we were like laughing about it the whole night, and obviously we shrugged it off again because we really didn't know what the coronavirus was, and we didn't know what it's capable of because it started in China and we're in Mexico and like completely different continents and countless kilometers away, and so we really didn't think much about it. And then one night I was partying with my friend Kristen and her boyfriend Armando at this club that we were obsessed with. It was called Centro de Salud, and it's in the Colonia Roma Norte part of Mexico City. And this one guy came up to me, and he was like a bartender, and he was like, "Where are you from? De donde eres?" And I was like, "Filipinas. I'm from the Philippines," I said. And he was like, "Okay, you didn't look Filipino to me." And I was like, the fuck are like Filipinos supposed to look like, balut?" Anyway, that totally like ruined my mood that night. And I could tell where he was going with this because obviously I don't really look Filipino. I look more Chinese than Filipino, but anyway, it's not the point. And he was like, "You don't have the coronavirus, do you?" He asked jokingly, and I was like, would I go partying if I had the coronavirus? Like, obviously I don't. And I totally get it that it was a joke, but it was just like a very distasteful joke, and it wasn't something that you actually joke about because that, to me, that feels very racist. And so that actually totally ruined my night, and I'm not really one to just drop things and just like have a good time because like I overthink, like I really do. And so that night I told Kristen that, "Yo, I'm not feeling the vibe in here anymore, so I'm just gonna go home." And so I went home. But then after that, I stopped thinking about it. And in Mexico City, we just continued on with our lives because the coronavirus wasn't really a thing yet. And so we kept on going to tianguis, to cafes, we kept on partying, and we were living in a hostel, so we didn't know where people that was there was coming from, and so we really didn't think much of it. And so I spent the whole of January and the whole of February in Mexico City living life as it was normal, because life was very normal back in Mexico, and I loved every bit of it. And so on my very last week in Mexico City. We had just been partying, having a great time because me and my friends, my co-volunteers, were leaving at the same time, in the span of the same week. Like on the 1st of March, I was bound to fly into Colombia, and a few days later, Kristen was moving out of the hostel and into an apartment with her boyfriend in Mexico City. And then a few days before, Federica went to Cancun, I think. And then Tommy was going to leave to go to Bogota. And Shauna and Becca were going to Cuba. And so that was the perfect time to say goodbye to my friends and to just have a great time, I think. And so we were seeing articles of the coronavirus hitting in Asia and in Europe, but we just paid no mind, if I could tell you the truth. Because I feel like if it isn't happening to you, if you're not being affected directly, you're not gonna pay any mind or like any consideration towards it. And that's what we did. And so we were just living normally in Mexico through this few months that we heard about coronavirus up until we were all supposed to go our separate ways in the first week of March. And so we left, we said goodbye. It was very bittersweet. We didn't know when we're going to see each other again. We didn't know when we were going to be back in Mexico City again. And we said our adioses. And it was very, very sad. I mean, happy at the same time, very excited. We were all going to embark on this new adventure, separately. But at the same time, I feel like if you create a bond, create a connection with people that you've lived with a short period of time, it still feels sad no matter how excited you are about the adventure that's awaiting you, like in the future. And so that's how I felt. And then on March 1st, I flew into Colombia via Interjet. It's like a Mexican airline. And guess what? I've had the very first racist encounter that I've actually had in my life. It was very degrading, to say the least. And it was very disappointing. Okay, so I embarked on this flight to Colombia. It was a direct flight from Mexico City to Colombia, and it was about 5 hours, I think. And I was there on the plane with my stuffed dog, Dante. If you follow me on Instagram, you know all about Dante. But anyway, and so I had the row completely empty. It was just like I had it all to myself, and I didn't really know what to expect with Interjet because obviously it's like a low-cost airline, and I didn't know if I was entitled to food. But I've heard one of my friends who flew Interjet before, and she was like, "Oh, they have like the best snacks." And I was like, oh, I actually love flying and I love airplane food. So I'm excited. I booked Interjet and I had like this really high expectation of it. And so the day that I flew in, I was like, oh, I wonder what snack they're gonna give me today. But lo and behold, when the air hostess started giving the snacks, she completely ignored me. She didn't even bother asking me if I wanted to purchase a snack. And so I was like, okay, maybe it's not part of the deal that I've booked with my ticket. And so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna shut up. I'm not one to like ask, I guess. I'm not very persistent in that way, or I'm not very, I don't know, aggressive, if that's the right term. But I just completely like let it slip. Anyway, so on the second leg of the, okay, not the second leg, like I think it was like an hour before we land in Medellin, she started giving the second leg of the snacks. And I was like, okay, maybe this time I'm gonna get a snack. And so, second time, same air hostess, she completely ignored me the second time around. And I was like, something is fishy, something's not right. I don't think I'm supposed to be treated this way. I got off that flight and I filed a complaint, like with Interjet. Well, I told them like my flight details and what happened on the flight, and they were like, "We're so sorry. We can't give you anything, like not a refund, not reward points, not even anything. But we're sorry. We hope we fly with you again." And I was like, "Okay, this is not working. This is not something that an airline does, because this is like a racism encounter with one of their employees and myself. And obviously, I'm a nobody, but if that happened to someone else, I don't think I'd want that to happen again, because this is something that's happened terribly, and I felt really bad. I felt really degraded in a way, because I don't have the virus. The fact that I'm Asian doesn't mean I have it. And some people just judge you without even knowing your background. And I get it. I get it. It's a virus. It's scary. I totally get it. But just because someone is Asian doesn't mean they have it. Like, honestly, like, get a fucking grip. But anyway, so I arrived in Medellin, and oh my gosh, the land of reggaeton, the land of Karol G, the land of J Balvin, the land of Maluma. Oh my gosh, I was so excited to be there. Well, the fact that I was in Colombia, I've just been really excited because growing up, I always used to read Gabriel García Márquez, and I mean, Love in the Time of Cholera, Cien Años de Soledad. It's just, he was my favorite writer. Like, he's still my favorite writer. And the fact that I'm in his hometown, I mean, not his hometown, in his home country, is very amusing and just such a dream come true for me. And so I was really excited to be in Colombia. So Medellin was the first leg of my trip through Colombia. And I was gonna be staying in Medellin for about 2 months. I was set to volunteer at this hostel. And the first week has been, oh, it was amazing. So we were partying every night, not even every other night. We were partying every single freaking night. It was amazing, to say the least. Like dancing to reggaeton, drinking agua miel. It was amazing. Oh. And when I was in Mexico, in San Jose del Pacifico and Mazunte, I traveled with two Colombian boys from Medellin named Santiago. They're both named Santiagos. They're really cool people. One's studying to become a doctor, one's studying to become a lawyer. So they're really smart as well. And they were from Medellin. And as soon as I landed in Medellin, I texted both of them. We had this like group chat. And I was like, "I'm in Medellin, so what should we do? When should we meet up?" And they were setting up like parties and stuff to take me, and it was really nice actually. And a few days after I arrived in Medellin, Santiago number one picked me off my hostel, and we drove around the city. We smoked weed. It was really amazing. And then later that night, we met up with Santiago number two and his girlfriend, and we danced reggaeton. We ate arepas. We drank agua miel. Oh, we had the best time. And they took me to this little bar. I totally forgot the name, but the shots in that bar was crazy. It was loco. And you know, like how massive and tall a graduated cylinder is? Like, one of their shots is like that big. I was like, "I'm gonna die in here," but I mean, I didn't. But anyway, it was like a really fun night, and I met a real like a bunch of cool people in Medellin, and I was volunteering with five guys, I think. Bernard from Brazil, Leonard from Germany, Gabo from Argentina, Luis from Colombia, and Mike from Canada. So it was like five guys and one girl. It was actually fun. And then we were doing pub crawls every Thursday. It was great. And then actually the second week, I started to get sick. I don't know why. It was actually the peak of coronavirus hitting in South America. And that during that time I got really sick. I don't really know what was happening. I had the cough. I had the fever. I had a sore throat. basically I had everything that a coronavirus patient would have. And so I got very distressed in a way. It was very annoying and scary because obviously I'm in a foreign country. Honestly, getting sick while on the road can be one of the most distressing things that can happen to you. It's happened to me a couple of times. And the first one that actually got me really scared is the one in Colombia, in Medellin. Because there was this virus that we didn't know anything about. Then there was me, an Asian person in Colombia. And then it was just very stressful because at that point I'd wanted to come home. And everything was starting to close down. And me and my co-volunteers had this talk whether we should stay in the hostel and just wait it out for the duration of April, or should we go back home. I told them, guys, I love you all, but I'm out of here. Well, actually, like, after we had that talk, like, exactly that night, I booked a flight from Medellin to Los Angeles, California, with labor in Mexico City. And I think, if I remember correctly, my flight was on the 25th of March, and I booked a flight from LA to Manila, direct flight via Philippine Airlines, on the 26th of March. And so I was set. I had a concrete plan. I was gonna go home, and I booked everything. But what I didn't know in the next coming days was everything is going to be really much more stressful. Because as much as I love Colombia, it's really not a great place to be stranded when there's a global pandemic going on. The next day, I think it was like 21st or 22nd, the Colombian president announced that Colombia will close its borders on the 23rd. Nothing, like nobody can go in and out. And I was like, are you flipping kidding me? I just booked a flight the night before on the 25th. You're telling me that I really can't take that flight because the borders are gonna close? Great, I just wasted $300 on that flight. And so that night I had to scramble and book another flight out of Colombia, and the cheapest one that I could find was going into Mexico City. And that night I was like, I'm just gonna book it, and then it leaves the next day. That gives me ample time to figure out if this flight is gonna get canceled, because most flights during that time was gonna get canceled or delayed, and so you need to have a backup plan. And so one day gives me an ample time to figure out what's going to be my plan just in case this flight gets canceled again. I booked that flight from Medellin to Ciudad de Mexico, and it was via Copa Airlines, I think. It's like this airline from Panama, and it was actually really nice. It was a really nice airline. If I were to go back to Latin America, I'd fly Copa Airlines like every time. Like, guys, this is not sponsored or anything, but Copa Airlines is the best airline in Latin America. Like, it really is up there with Aeroméxico. It's really good. Like, if you're gonna fly and you're in Latin America, do not fly with Interjet. They are shit and they do not give you a refund, even if they're the ones who canceled your flights. Anyway, I'm like really pissed about Interjet. Like, I feel like you can feel my anger towards like the screen. It's not fun to pay like a shit ton of money and not get refunded for it, even if they're the ones who canceled your flights. So I really wouldn't recommend flying with Interjet. Anyway, so that night I book a flight out of Colombia, and then we have this last dinner with me and my friends, because like Leonard was supposed to fly out in like a few hours. I was gonna go to the airport with Mike, who was flying back to Canada, and then Luis was going to Cali, not California, Cali is like another province in Colombia, and then Gabo was trying to go back to Argentina, and Bernard was trying to get into Mexico City. And so it was the last time that we were gonna have a proper meal together as like family of volunteers in Medellin. And so, yeah, we had like fun, but I was still pretty sick. The next day, I was at the airport and I was like, Danica, you better not fuck this up. You better not be seen cuffing because they might like pull you out of a flight and like be put into like a detention, like a quarantine center. And I don't want none of that. I just want to get out of Colombia and back into Mexico. And remember how like even a few weeks earlier, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be back in Mexico again. Ciudad de Mexico is like one of the best cities on earth. And I don't know when I'm going to get back here again. I terribly miss it. The tacos, the quesadillas, oh, the adobos. Oh, it was really good. The mezcal, the tequila. Damn. Little did I know, 2 weeks later, I'd come crawling back to Ciudad de Mexico with Dante. It was really stressful. It was stressful to get out of Colombia. It was stressful to get sick in the midst of a pandemic, not knowing if you have the virus or not. It was stressful struggling to book a flight, not knowing if it's going to be canceled or not, not getting a refund for a canceled flight. I'm looking at you and talking to you, Interjet. You still owe me $300 for like a canceled flight. Anyway. And so, me and my friends, Shauna, Becca, Tommy, and Manolis. So me and my friends, we had this plan to go back to Mexico City and close this chapter into this travel story as peacefully, as lovely, and as amazing as we could, because this pandemic literally ruined all of our plans. And so we were like, let's go back to Mexico. We love Mexico. We've been living in here for months. Let's go back and let's have a great time. Let's have a great farewell party. And so we went back to the hostel that we were volunteering at. There's nobody there because they'd closed temporarily. The only person there is our Greek friend Manolis, who was like renting out a room. And so I came back. I was there with Tommy and Shauna and Becca and Manolis, obviously. And Kristen came to visit. And it's been a great closing to this chapter, to this travel chapter, because we got to reminisce what happened in those rooftops, in those streets, in those rooms. Oh yes, spicy. We got to look back on the lessons that the past few months have taught us, the lessons that the past annoying and beautiful people have taught us who've stayed with us at that hostel. We've had the opportunity to reflect whether this guy or this girl that we sort of dated were terrible or great, or if we'd end up with that person, or if we'd actually see each other again, you know? It was really bittersweet. We left Mexico a few weeks prior, me going to Colombia, my other friends going to Cuba, to Cancun, and we didn't know when we were going back in Mexico City, but we were still around the area. We were still in Latin America. Some of us were still in Mexico. Some of us are going straight to South America, but we were still within the proximity of the area. But on that night that we were back together in Mexico City for the final farewell, we were like, we were gonna go home. We were actually going home. I was going back to Asia. Tommy and Shauna were going back to Europe. Becca was going back to the United States. It was really sad, to say the least. And we had our final beers, our final Coronas, our final tacos, final cafes in my favorite cafes in Mexico City, final walks around Parque Mexico, Parque España, in Amsterdam, final trip to Superama. It was bittersweet. I know I'm getting emotional. But we knew at this point that you were gonna go home. We didn't know when we were gonna see each other again. And we didn't know if the hostel was gonna survive this pandemic because business is struggling. And then we left. We went straight to bed. The next day, I was gonna go to the airport with Shauna because Because if you remembered, I booked a flight from Medellin to LA with a layover in Mexico, but obviously I had to book a different flight from Mexico. Well, yeah, to Mexico, I mean. And I wanted to know if I can still take the Mexico leg of my trip from Mexico to LA, because I was already in Mexico and I had like a valid reason. The Colombian borders were gonna close. And I had the mistake of trusting Interjet again, of trusting them and booking another flight with them. As like, okay, this is not so bad. I mean, that was bad. Like, they've been racist towards me, and I don't even know why I booked another flight with them. I guess I never learned my freaking lessons. Anyway, I went to the airport and I was like, so can I still take this flight with you guys, Mexico City to LA? And they were like, oh, actually, we're not flying into the US anymore. Sorry. And I was there at the Benito Juarez International Airport. I was pissed. There was no email whatsoever. There was nothing. Like, no note, no email, no warning saying that, oh, Interjet flights will be canceled. Like, that's going to the United States. I was there, pissed, out of my wits, and my friend Shauna just left me to go back to Wales. And I was like sad, angry, freaking depressed, and a little bit more sick. And I was like, can I get a refund? They're like, no, we don't process refunds. Like, we don't do refunds. I was like, that's $300, like, straight out the window. And it was right then and there when I knew that I'd never, never, ever, ever, never fly with Interjet ever again. They're the worst airline. They have the worst customer service. They have the worst. They're just the worst. I'm not just gonna go into detail because I don't wanna hurt anybody. But, okay, so I've worked in customer service for years. I've worked in hospitality, I've worked in customer relations. And so, as much as I can, I never complain because I know how hard it is. I know how freaking hard it is to indulge yourself with like annoying clients. Like, it's hard. Like, I have like a smiling face, like a normal smiling face, and I have my customer service smiling face. It's hard. But at that point, I just snapped. It was really hard to throw away money just like that and not get what you paid for. So I was like really pissed. And I've actually emailed Interjet a couple of times asking for a refund. One time they emailed me and they're like, so this is really not in any way related to the racism incident that I've encountered during the Ciudad de Mexico to Medellin length of my trip. And I didn't mention anything about that. And so I was like, so this is my flight. Y'all canceled it without telling me. I want a refund. And all they told me was, oh, we're so sorry about like the racism encounter that you had to go through, but we're not gonna give you any refund. And I was like, y'all fucking kidding me? And so I just kept on messaging them, but I still haven't heard from them. So if anybody at Interjet, or if you know anybody that works in Interjet, like, I'd be really appreciative if y'all can like help me get a refund, because that's like $300 freaking dollars. And that money could be like helpful because like it's a pandemic, yo. And I'm redecorating my room, so I need to buy a bed, you know, and like nice rags. Okay, that sounded very spoiled, but whatever. And so I was there at the airport not knowing what to do, and then I was pissed and I went home. And at that point, I accepted that I was gonna be in Mexico for the duration of the pandemic. Like, actually, that night I went to Superama. Superama is this big grocery chain in Ciudad de Mexico. It's kind of like, it's not like Target, but it's kind of like Stop and Shop. And okay, it's kind of like Pure Gold for the Philippines. Anyway, I can't say it's kind of like Walmart because they actually have Walmart in Mexico, and I think Walmart is the one who owns Superama, so you get the picture. Anyway, so yeah, it's kind of like Stop and Shop. I'm trying my best to like describe Superama. Annoying. Anyway, that night I actually went to Superama and I got groceries for the next 2 weeks that I was going to be in Mexico. And so I think it was the 24th, 25th or something like that. And then that day I went home and I took a nap because I was still pretty sick. And it was just me, Becca, Manolis, and Tommy at the hostel. Sean has just left. And I woke up that afternoon and Becca was like, "Tommy just left." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Tommy just left." And I was like, "Why didn't he say goodbye?" Oh, I texted Tommy and I was like, "You didn't even say goodbye to me." And Tommy responded, "I know, but you're sleeping and I know that you're still pretty sick. You have that like red eye mask that you sleep with and you look pretty peaceful and I didn't want to wake you up." And I told him, "I wouldn't have mind. Who knows when I'm going to be able to see you again." And so I was pretty sad and pretty pissed at the same time. And so I went to Superama because like I'm kind of a shopaholic and I love food. And so like the grocery is like one thing that makes me really happy. And so I went back home and like I cooked pasta bolognese con chorizo de pavo. And so I cooked and then I rested. And then a few minutes later, there was somebody knocking on the door. It was Tommy and Vincent. And they were like, "We couldn't leave without saying goodbye." And then at that point I was like kind of relieved. And we drank a few Coronas on the terrace and just said goodbye, smoked pot. It was just really nice to say goodbye. So like I asked them, "I thought you were not going to go home," because Tommy was one of my friends who wanted so bad to stay in Mexico, like to wait it out, primarily because he'd met a girl there. Anyway, so that morning he was like, he got a text from Vincent saying that the embassy texted him and that there's like going to be a sweeper flight that's taking people back to Berlin. And Tommy looked at his email and there's like another email from the German embassy to him saying they've got a spot to go back to Berlin. And so I guess that's what they took. Like that's the flight that they took, which is pretty great. Like a few days earlier, I contacted the Philippine embassy and they were like, well, I asked them like, "What's the best way for me to go home?" They're like, "Sorry, can't help you there, sister. Like, you're not the only one going home, and besides, you're not an OFW. So an OFW is like an overseas Filipino worker, and these are like primarily parents trying to earn money abroad and sending them back to the Philippines for their children. And obviously I'm not an OFW, like I'm literally just in Mexico for the fun of it. And so they're like, "Sorry, sister, can't help you there." And I was like, why is this the case? Like, why can't the Philippines ever help me? Like, why? Like, I would die for the Philippines, but the Philippines would not even budge for me. And so, that sucks. That's pretty sad. Anyway, and so at that point, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be in Mexico for the duration of this pandemic. And then the next day, like, well, Tommy left that night. And then the next day, it was Becca's last day in Mexico. And she was flying to Chicago the next day. And I was just there. I was like, oh, what should I do? Like, should I book a flight? I don't know where. All the borders were going to close. Can I even enter back into the U.S.? And she was like, I'm flying with Aeromexico and they're not seeming to have any problem. And I was like, should I just, like, fuck it and book a flight to L.A.? Because I had, like, a flight back to Manila on the 26th. So I was like, should I just fuck it and like book that flight? And Becca was like, you should. We should fly together tomorrow. And so right then and there, I impulsively booked a ticket to LA from Ciudad de Mexico. And I'd done something right this time. I did not book with Interjet. So instead, I booked with Aeromexico. It's one of the best. I think it's like the flag carrier of Mexico. And so it was like really good. And so that night I'd spent erratically packing and I didn't know that I was going to fly out. I didn't even know if like I can fly because like I was still pretty sick and they're like, oh, the borders in the U.S. are closing. And like we've been looking at news nonstop, but there was nothing about the U.S. closing their borders. And so I couldn't sleep that night. It was very, very stressful. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't even poop. I'm not even freaking kidding. TMI, I know, but you get the picture. And that night, I barely got any sleep. I think I slept at around 4 o'clock, and by 5:30, we had to be out the door. And so I didn't get any sleep. And then when I went into the airport, I was pretty freaking tensed. But the thing was, it was so surprising because it was really easy. I got into the counter and they just like looked at my passport and then gave me my boarding pass. And then we got into security, filled up a health information check. And then that was it. We just had to wait. Like, Becca even had time to grab some Starbucks. Like, right? And then I was like, this can't be fucking real. Because this is way too easy. And Becca was telling me, like, dude, you gotta chill. Like, it's all going pretty smoothly. And so we were in the same gate. Well, Becca was flying to Chicago and I was flying to LA. And so we were still, like, chilling there. And then we kind of separated, like, a few minutes before we both had to fly out. It was kind of nice to have, like, company before flying off. Because it really helped me with the tension. Like, it was great. And then when I landed in LA, like, the Aeromexico flight, I think there were, like, 9 of us in there. And, like, in that whole airplane, there was, like, 9 of us. It was pretty funny. But, like, it was great. Like, the service was impeccable. And I got into LA, and it was so crazy how fast TSA was. Like, I did not have any problem with TSA whatsoever. Like, the only problem I had was because I had, like, a chicken sandwich in my bag, and they're like, you can't bring that into the US. And I'm like, cool. I'd gladly drop my chicken freaking sandwich. Like, right? It's so easy. Like, this can't be how it is. Like, this is way too easy. But, like, it was easy. Like, I'm literally at lost for words at how easy it was. Like, borders were open. TSA was, like, pretty freaking smooth. And I might be in the Philippines tonight. But the thing was, I still don't know if I'm gonna be in the Philippines, like, by nightfall, because a few days before I had an email from Philippine Airlines saying my flight to the Philippines had been canceled because they're not flying out anymore, and that the last flight to the Philippines was going to be a day before. And so if you can be in LA at this time tomorrow, we can see if we can squeeze you on the last flight. And so I went to LA, and everyone at the Philippine Airlines booth were so accommodating. Obviously, it's like Filipinos are very hospitable and like in nature, so I really would not expect anything less. And they're like, we'll have to like check if we have space, but I'm pretty sure we do, and you're gonna get home safely tonight. So they really took care of me. Like, I love Philippine Airlines. They sucked when they canceled my flight, but I mean, I forgive them now. They're like, they've been really helpful. They've been really helpful on like the Philippine freaking embassy, so. And then I was still pretty tense because even if they told me that I am gonna get onto the flight, unless I have a boarding pass, I'm not gonna be like relaxing. And so when I got the boarding pass, I was like, this is amazing. Like, from Colombia to Mexico to LA and into Manila, the Lord has not failed me. He's like sent me countless miracles. He sent me countless people as angels, and I was just really grateful at that time. I called my mom, I called my dad, and I was like, I'm coming home tonight. It was amazing. And it was actually a direct flight from Los Angeles to Manila, so it was like 15 to 16 hours. And I slept most of that time, like, thank you, Xanax. And so I woke up in Manila, and oh my gosh, the immigration line was long. I was like, it's more fun in the Philippines indeed. But so before coming home, I mean to my grandma's house, I actually had another issue because I think the OFWs were being quarantined separately, and I was like, I don't want to get quarantined separately. And so I was like, okay, bye, I'm just gonna take a taxi to my house. And like, I kind of just dashed out of there because I didn't know, one, to be quarantined with, like, random people. I'm not being elitist or anything. It's just you don't really know where they've come from, and they don't know where I've come from, so we can exchange viruses, you know? It's very scary. And so I took a 30-minute, like, actually a 40-minute taxi ride from the Ninoy Aquino International Airport to my house, and it was awesome. It was actually, there was no traffic. There was, like, a few checkpoints where I had to show my passport and they'd had to take my temperature. But aside from that, it was pretty easy. So I was kind of amazed at how easy it was, because I was expecting it to be, like, really hard. At some point, I was like, this can't be it. This can't be this easy. But it was. And then I was like, why is this easy? Because, like, and then I realized, because I've been praying for it to be easy. I've been praying to God for, like, a miracle. And then, like, he's giving me these miracles. And I'm like, now I'm complaining? Like, what the fuck do I want? But it was great. It was definitely an experience that I'll never forget. Damn, I came from South America. And it was the first leg of my South American trip. Like, I'm in Colombia. And then I arrived in Medellin. And then I was going to go to Barranquilla, to Bogota, to Santa Marta, to Cali. And then I was going to go to Ecuador and to Peru and to Argentina, to Uruguay, to Paraguay, to Bolivia. But I guess not. Because, I don't know, it's just weird not being able to actually complete your trip. And I always sound really spoiled when I say that. I hate not being able to travel. But I actually do hate not being able to travel. It's just like, I know that we're being restricted and confined, I mean by force, into our houses. It's just kind of weird to me, like, not being able to travel. And I don't know. I've actually been in the Philippines for about 2 months now. I just turned 24 a few days ago. And I don't know. Because I have this thing where, so I graduated university at 19, and I was like, I'm just gonna bum around up until I'm 25, and then by the time I'm 25, I'm gonna go back to school and get my master's, and then hopefully get a job in the United Nations, because I want to work for the United Nations so bad. I want to be the UN Secretary General. And I'm 24 now. 2020 was supposed to be the last year that I was gonna be traveling before I actually go back to uni for my master's, but I guess the Lord has his different plans, and it's just not happening. I mean, it's only May. We still don't know what's going to happen in, like, the next coming month. So I'm still hopeful that I'm going to get to travel when this is all over. So we'll see. But yeah, that's actually my quarantine-ish story. Traveling in the time of Corona. I'd love to know, where were you when the news of Corona actually broke out? And, like, what were your first thoughts about it? Were you traveling? Were you just at home? And yeah, I'd love to talk about it. For now, that is the story. I know I'm still kind of working on the fluidity of my storytelling, because I still get pretty distracted, I know. But it's all good, I think. And thank you so much for listening. And yeah, be safe out there. I know this pandemic sucks. Being at home kind of sucks. But I know that there's going to be a silver lining into all of this. And we're going to be able to travel soon. Here's to hoping. Fingers crossed. So yeah, for more stories, photographs, and whatnot, head on to my website, www.danikatanhutko.com. And yeah, follow me on Instagram at dmtanhutko. And while you're at it, if you like me, if you like me, what the fuck? If you like me, sort of, give me a like on Facebook at Following Paraluman. www.facebook.com/followingparaluman. So yeah, that's about it. And yeah, I'm actually headed back to bed. It's about 11 o'clock at night here in the Philippines, and so I'm gonna have a little movie time, then bed. And I hope you guys are having a great time, a great day, night, afternoon, whatever, albeit this pandemic. And be safe, wash your hands, sanitize properly, and I'll see you guys soon. Bye!